Well, just hot water is good. For now.
Seriously, yeah, hot water.
Yeah, but okay. Coffee is going to be too complicated. So.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we're on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. And we're four lines down from the top. So the Gemara that we're skipping here, you know what, maybe there's one Gemara we shouldn't skip. Most of the Gemara here is not relevant to us, but there is one Gemara that's relevant to us. And that depends on whether you learn like the Rambam or like Rashi in this Gemara. So let's go over that Gemara. So let's take a look on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. And we'll go over the last Gemara that we did yesterday, which is the Beiso de Rav Yosef. So if it helps you to find the place, there's a Tosis Divrei HaMaskil Gzeira. Thank you.
Okay.
And if you'll go down about five lines, the base of the Rav Yosef, the wife of Rav Yosef, having Ma'achra u'Madlekesla. So she was lighting late. In other words, she was waiting into the night to light. This is the way the Rambam is going to learn this sugya, because the Rambam is learning that the word madlekes here is referring to Ner Chanukah. Rashi has a whole different shot. Rashi says, Macheres u'madlekes Ner Shel Shabbos. And she was lighting right before nightfall. But if we're talking about Ner Chanukah, the Rambam's frame of reference, then she was lighting into the night. And her husband, Rav Yosef, was not happy about that. Amar lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef quoted a braisa in order to prove his point. His wife must have been somewhat of a scholar, you know, that he would prove himself by quoting a braisa. And what does it say in the braisa? The braisa is talking about, if you recall from the end of yesterday's discussion, about the Amud Ha'anan, which was visible during the day and protected the Jewish people, and the Amud HaEsh Laila, which was the pillar of fire at night that lit up the darkness of the night. And the Pasuk says, and this is a superfluous Pasuk, Lo Yomish Amud HaNan Yomam VeAmud HaEsh Laila Lifnei HaAm is the next two words. Now why is this Pasuk superfluous? Why is it unnecessary? Because in the previous pasuk, the Torah already says, "Vashem holech lifneim yomam b'amud ha'anan l'nachosam b'haderech," that the amud ha'anan would guide them through the wilderness during the daytime, the laila, and guidance at night. B'amud eish l'hayor lahem, the amud eish would lighten up the darkness. So why did the Torah have to add the second pasuk, "Lo yomish amud ha'anan yomam"? What's the chiddush here in this pasuk? So the Gemara answers, the Brice answers, Milamed, that this pasuk wants to teach us something about the Amud Ha'anan and the Amud Ha'esh in terms of the relationship between the two, and that's going to tell us about Hadlokas Ner. Milamed Shamud Ha'anan, which was during the day, Mashlim La Amud Ha'esh, which means that the Amud HaEsh would come early, even though the Amud HaAnan was still there, in other words, it was still daylight, so that the Amud HaEsh came before the histalkus of the Amud HaAnan, before the Amud HaAnan would check out, so to speak, would terminate its function. So there's an overlap now in which the Amud HaEsh begins during the day itself. And this is going to be a message, according to the Braisa, that the Eish, which means the Hadlaka, should come even when it's still a little bit day, it's still a little bit light out. Because again, the Amudah Esh was Makdim and was Mashlim, the Amudah Anan. Now, on the flip side, the Braisa goes and says, the Amudah Esh Mashlim L'Amudah Anan. In other words, the Amudah Hanan, which came to again to guide them through the desert, would come even when it was still night, even when the Amudah Esh was still functioning. So again, we have it in both directions. The Amudah Esh would begin its nightly shift, if you will, even when the Amudah Anan, which was the day shift, was still functioning. So there was an overlap in which the Amudah Ha'esh started. Let's say, for example, nightfall was at 7, so at 6:30, which is a half hour before nightfall, the Amudah Anan was functioning, and yet the Amudah Ha'esh would come and would appear even before the Amudah Anan terminated its shift, its function. So that's going to tell us that the Amudah Esh comes first, even when it's still light out. And according to the Rambam, the message that we get from this Braisa is about the Ner Chanukah, that the Ner Chanukah should come, and we should light it even before it's dark out. And therefore, Rav Yosef turns to his wife and he says, why are you waiting until it's really dark out, until, let's call it, Seisach Kochavim? You should be lighting the Ner Chanukah even early. So now, just the end of the story is Savra Lakduma. She now thinks, well, if the Amudah Esh is coming so early, maybe I should light the Ner Chanukah way early. And in that case, she lit the Ner Chanukah way too early. Amar Allah Hahu Saba. So one of the great scholars pointed out, Nina, we have a Brais who Bilvashlo Yakdim. You shouldn't do it too early, Vishlo Yachir. So on the one hand, you shouldn't light after, you know, after Tzeis. Don't wait till after Tzeis, because again, the Amudah Esh came earlier. On the other hand, you should not light too early, because we have to wait until that time period where the Amudah Anan is completing its shift. So let's call it Shkiyas Hachama. Let's assume that there's a half hour between Shkiyas Hachama and Tzeis. That's the perfect time to light Ner Chanukah.
How do you know this is talking about Chanukah?
The Rambam says we're talking about Chanukah. Now we're going to Rashi. Yeah. The reason why I gave the Rambam's Chus Kedima here is because we're learning the Sugya of Chanukah. This learning, this interpretation of our Sugya, the way the Rambam interprets it, is very relevant to Chanukah. Because there's a whole to-do, which I discussed in the past, about when exactly is the proper time to light Ner Chanukah. And if anyone's interested in learning a little Mishnah Brura, we'll offer that later on this morning. But what the halacha seems to say, according to the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch maybe reflects the Rambam Shita, is that we shouldn't wait until nightfall for lighting Ner Chanukah. And that's a tremendous chiddush, because normally a mitzvah halayla begins with Seisach Kochavim, when it's pitch black out. Here in the case of Ner Chanukah, at least the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch advocate lighting before that, before Seisach Kochavim. Here in Eretz Yisrael, based on the Minhag HaGra, the Vilna Gaon, it's very popular to light before, after Shkia, but before nightfall. And that's based on this sugya, the way the Rambam interprets this sugya. Rashi has a whole different interpretation of the sugya. If you take a look again, a second time at Rashi, Dibra Maschil Ma'acheres Umadlekes, which is again, I would say, about 15 lines up from the bottom of the page, underline that Rashi says Ner Shel Shabbos, that she would wait until the last possible moment before it got dark, Samach L'Chashecha, to light her Ner Shabbos. And basically the entire discussion in between Rav Yosef and his wife revolves around Ner Shabbos. When is the proper time to light Ner Shabbos? And you know, you might say that we don't want to wait till the last moment to light a Ner Shabbos, because you know you're getting into very dangerous territory. You know, you could get into hot water if you light the Ner Shabbos too late. So Rav Yosef wanted her to light the Ner Shabbos earlier. She thought, well, let me light it even when it's still very light outside. So then he says, no, uvavach lo yakdim, because if you light it too early, then nobody knows that you're lighting it for the sake of Shabbos. You know, it has to be l'kavod Shabbos, and if you're lighting it too early, then the you know, it's not obvious to anyone that you're lighting it for the sake of Shabbos. Again, we always have to keep in mind that they didn't have electricity in those days. So if you're lighting a Nair right before Shabbos, then it makes sense that it's L'Kovod Shabbos. But if you're lighting it too early, that's not the period of time before Shabbos. That's Ba'od Hayom Gadol, and therefore that's not considered Nikar, that it's for Shabbos. So in a funny sort of sense, we're cutting it very thin, to a thin slice over here. You know, we don't want you to wait too long, too late, because you're waiting too late, you're getting close to Chashecha. And keep in mind, the Amud HaEsh came even before the Stalkus of the Amud HaNan. But on the other hand, we don't want you to light too early, because if you light too early, it's B'yom HaYom Gadol. It's not even related to Shabbos, it's not connected to Shabbos. Now, one comment before we go on. What's so terrible if you light a Nair Shabbos too early? Today is what? Today is Monday. Let's say I had a very long candle, you know, one of these yahrzeit candles that last for a week, right? And I would light it today, and it would stay lit even into Shabbos. What have I lost?
Recognition of
this for sure. Oh, so what is the mitzvah of Shabbos? Why does the mitzvah of Shabbos, of Ner Shabbos, require recognition? You know, we spoke about Ner Chanukah very often, that in order to achieve my goal of Pirsum Hanes, I need a Hekera, you know, I need to, that everybody should know that this is a Ner Chanukah. We said that maybe that's why also L'shtamish Li'ora, you shouldn't get any benefits for the Ner Chanukah. But in the case of Ner Shabbos,
we are supposed to get benefit, and it's for Oneg or for Kavod.
And we're supposed to get benefit from it. So what's the great loss if you light the candle too early? What does that mean?
You've got to work for 6 days. You can't have Shabbos for 6 days or 5 days or...
Oh, so you? I think Michael, what you're touching on is a different issue. Whether or not lighting Ner Shabbos itself constitutes a Kabbalah Shabbos.
Does it not for the woman?
According to most Rishonim, it does not. You know, you need a separate Kabbalah.
Oh.
But just to avoid getting into that issue, I wanted to get into a different question. You may recall that the Gemara earlier vacillates about Ner Chanukah. I'm going to get back to Ner Shabbos in just a minute. Don't get nervous. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, whether hadlokos a mitzvah, hanochos a mitzvah. And the difference would be if somebody lit the Ner Chanukah who was completely invalid as far as halacha is concerned for lighting, for doing any maisa, let's say, cherishot v'kot. Now, Rashi identifies hadlokos a mitzvah with the Beis HaMikdash, with the menorah. And Rashi says that just like in the menorah, the mitzvah was hadlaka, so too in Ner Chanukah, according to one side in the Gemara, the mitzvah is hadlaka. So the Taz, who lived about 4 centuries ago, he says the following, that according to Rashi, when it comes to Ner Shabbos, there's no reason to compel us to say hadlaka osa mitzvah. Because Rashi in Ner Chanukah says hadlaka osa mitzvah is based on the equation to menorah. There's no equation between Shabbos and the menorah. The equation between Chanukah and the menorah and the Mikdash. Therefore, the Taz says that clearly with regard to Ner Shabbos, the act of hadlaka is secondary. It's not significant. It's just a way of getting a Ner. We need the house to be lit up. And basically, your responsibility in Ner Shabbos is to guarantee that there will be a Ner. If you recall, I mean, way back when we called this a Ner Doluk, and that's the nature of the mitzvah, not the Adlok, but the Ner Doluk. And if that's the case, then with regard to Ner Shabbos, the lighting itself is irrelevant. What's relevant is that as I enter into Shabbos, I have guaranteed myself a Ner. So if I light a Ner today on Monday, the case that I gave you before, and I can already anticipate that this Ner will last way into Shabbos, that's how. Then what have I lost? If the Taz is right, and the whole mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is just having Ner Doluk, and the Maisa Adlok is just a means to an end, and it's irrelevant. You know, you could have, for example, we pointed out that in Ner Chanukah, if you would hold Hanochos the mitzvah, then even if it was lit by a Cherishot V'Katan, you could be Yotze the mitzvah. You just have to guarantee that there is a Ner Doluk. And if we apply that to Shabbos, the way the Taz wants to establish it, so who cares? Who cares if you light it early? Meaning, Rabbi Yosef was very meticulous about his wife that she shouldn't light the Ner Chanukah too early. What have you lost? See, again, the Rambam says that he was meticulous about not lighting what too early? Ner Chanukah. So it means that the Rambam, as far as he's concerned, it's irrelevant how early you light the Ner Shabbos. As long as you fulfill the mitzvah of a Ner Doluk, meaning going into Shabbos, you know that you have a Ner Doluk, the Hadlaka is secondary. And Rashi, insofar as he insists that even with regard to Ner Shabbos, you can't light the Ner too early, the question is why not? The Taz is arguing that all you need is a Ner Doluk. If I know I'm going to have a Ner Doluk, what difference does it make if I lit it on Friday morning, or for that matter on Motzi Shabbos, if it can last till next Shabbos day?
Is it a loss of saying a bracha at the right time?
Okay, so I gave a whole shiur on this topic. It's a little bit complicated. The Tosis actually quotes an opinion on Daf Chaf Amid Beis that you don't make a bracha on their Shabbos. And then Tosis rejects it in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that Ner Shabbos does require a bracha. So again, just to leave you with a question, I'm not going to give you any answers today. If you hold like the Rambam, things are very smooth. This whole sugya about finding and pinpointing exactly that slice of time to light the Ner is only referring to Chanukah. And you shouldn't light too early or too late. And the Rambam would say, as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned, light as early as you want, as long as you have a Ner Doluk. If you can guarantee yourself that there will be a Ner that's illuminating the Shabbos table, that's the mitzvah.
That's Rashi?
That would be the Rambam. Because again, the Rambam is holding that this whole sugya is only focused on slicing with a very sharp knife the time period for Ner Chanukah. As far as Ner Shabbos is concerned, we don't have this business. The Rambam never had this business. So what if she lights the Ner Chanukah early? I'm sorry, scratch that. What if she lights the Ner Shabbos early? There's no loss, because again, the Rambam Shita is that what's the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? Is Ner Dolk. Rashi, on the other hand, is very careful that she shouldn't light the Ner too early. It would sound like that the lighting itself has to be a lighting of a Ner Shabbos. And only during a certain period can you have that hadlaka that makes the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And that's what this sugya is all about, to define exactly when this Ner is close enough to Shabbos, not too close, because too close for comfort is also a little bit, nerve-wracking, but close enough to Shabbos that's considered a hadlaka of a Ner Shabbos. But the emphasis here is on the hadlaka, not on the Ner Doluk. And the question that we want to leave with the Olam today is that why would Rashi require a hadlaka in Ner Shabbos? In Ner Chanukah, Rashi says the reason why we require hadlaka is because of the analogy to the Beis HaMikdash, to the menorah. There the mitzvah was the hadlaka. But in the case of Ner Shabbos, we don't have that analogy. Then what presses us to assume that there's hadlaka? I mean, David mentions the bracha, and that has to be investigated. Okay. So now, Rabos, I want to start the sugya for today, and that's on Daf Chav Dalid Amud Aleph. Anything I'm skipping here has to do with Ner Shabbos, and especially with the sugya of Shemen Sreifa, which means Truma Shet Nitmeis. But we're focused now on Chanukah. So what do we have here? Four lines down from the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph regarding Chanukah. Iboilehu. Iboilehu always introduces a sofek. Ma'u lahazkir shel Chanukah bebirkas hamazon. We have a paragraph called Ala Nisim. And you and I are familiar with the fact that we recite Ala Nisim, we insert it, if you will, twice. I don't mean twice during the course of a day of Chanukah. What I mean to say is in two different occasions or two different places. What are those two different places? In Tefillah and in Birkas HaMazon. Now we're going to have a sugya later on where exactly you should insert Ala Nisim in Tefillah. But there was never a question, there was never an issue that Ala Nisim has to be inserted into the Shmonesre, into the Tefillah. In fact, Rabbi Osai, just to refresh our memory, If we go back to the Brisa of my Chanukah, Chof Aleph Amid Beis, the Brisa says, and if you're on Chof Aleph Amid Beis without losing the place on Chof Dalet Amid Aleph, and you count up from the bottom of the daf, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom, it says, Lishona Acheres, the year after the miracle took place, Kavum ve'asa'um yomim tovim, they established these 8 days as special days on the calendar, behalel ve'hodah. Now we know what the word halel means, because for 8 days we're going to recite halel, but what's hodah? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says the last three words in the Rashi, Dibra Maksav Hodah, which is about 7 lines up from the bottom of Chof Aleph Amid Beis, Lomar Alanisim Behodah. What does the word Hodah mean according to Rashi in this Braisa? Modim, exactly. It means Modim. It means the paragraph of Hodah, which is the next to the last bracha of Shmonesrei. Right? The last bracha is Shalom, but the one before that is called Hodah. And in Hodah, we have to insert Alanisim. V'lomar Alanisim behodah. You can begin to appreciate that according to Rashi, adding Alanisim in the Shmonesrei is not something insignificant. It's very important, because that's Rashi's telling you how they establish these days, days of Hallel and days of Hodah. Rashi says, Lomar Alanisim behodah. What about Birkas HaMazon? So the Gemara is a suffix. The Gemara vacillates back and forth. Ma'ula haskir shel Chanukah bebirkas hamazon. Now, Rabosai, what do we add to birkas hamazon? Let's forget about Chanukah for a minute. We'll get back to Chanukah in just a minute. Put it on the back burners. What occasions do we have besides Chanukah? And leave out Purim as well, because Purim is going to come under the same sugya here. What occasions do we have to add something to Birkas HaMazon?
Shabbos,
that's going to be Ritzei. And, okay, leave out Rosh Chodesh, because that's going to also come up in the Sugya. But Yontif would be Yalav V'Yom. So we have Ritzei on Shabbos, Yalav V'Yom on Yontif, possibly Yalav V'Yom on Rosh Chodesh, we'll see. And if we leave out Rosh Chodesh, again, because we know too much, that's our problem. You know, to understand this Gemara, you have to know less than more. We don't know that there's any addition on Rosh Chodesh. So the question is, can we appreciate the difference between, on the one hand, Shabbos and Yontif, and the other hand, Chanukah and Purim?
Yeah.
What would you say, Larry?
There's a Sudas Mitzvah on Shabbos and Yontif.
Oh, okay, that's true too. But even before you get to Sudas Mitzvah, because we have to figure out Sudas Mitzvah, if you would just classify mitzvahs, how would Shabbos and Yontif be radically different than Chanukah and Purim?
No Kedusha.
Correct. Where Shabbos and Yontif are Doraisa, Chanukah and Purim are Derabbanan. Now Larry introduced another element in the equation about Chiyuv Seuda. So I'm trying to avoid Chiyuv Seuda, because then we're going to get complicated with Purim, because it does seem that Purim has a Chiyuv Seuda. But if we leave out that, then we want to assume that the Gemara is vacillating about Chanukah and Purim, then it means that Chanukah and Purim are on a much lower level than all the other cases, the occasions in which we add something to Birkas HaMazon. Again, you could always ask, well, why doesn't the Gemara hesitate about adding something to the Tefillah itself? You know, we add Ritzei and Tefillah, we add Yalav V'Yavo and Tefillah. I mean, those are Doraisa. Who says we should add Alanisim and Tefillah? But again, keep in mind that Rashi insists that that's part of the main thrust of what they established in terms of Chanukah. The essence of Chanukah is Hallel V'Odah, and Odah Rashi identifies as Odah in Modim of Shmonesrei, and that didn't bother anybody. That was like axiomatic for some reason. But what bothers the Gemara, and this is what tickles the Gemara's mind here, what about Birkas HaMazon? In the case of Birkas HaMazon, so let's read the Gemara inside. The first side of the Gemara is Kevan de Midrabbanan Hu, since these days of Chanukah were only established by the Rabbanan, Lo Madkirinan, You know that the Dalid in Aramaic replaces the Zion in Lashon Kodesh, so it's Lo Mazkirinon, right? We don't mention Al Anisim or Chanukah for that matter in Birkas Hamazon because these days are only Derabbanon. So a day that's invested with a special status, Derabbanon, only Mirabbanon, that doesn't have the oomph, you know, it doesn't have the power to penetrate into our Birkas Hamazon. You know, as if to say Birkas Hamazon is not a welcoming host. You know, you have to really have the right credentials in order to be invited to wedge your way into Birkas Hamazon. And in the case of a Derabbanon, we're not going to allow that to do so. Odilma, and again we come back to the same power that we've seen over and over again, the special nature of Chanukah, Mishum Pirsumei Nisa. Chanukah is uplifted to a very special status because of Pirsum HaNes. We saw this, if you recall, about selling, you know, that the Ani has to sell the shirt off his back because of Pirsum HaNes. And we saw that if you have a question of what comes first, Kiddush on Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, you only have enough money for either Yayin or Ner, you buy the Ner because of Pirsum. So Pirsum HaNes puts Chanukah on a special level. We once discussed, if you recall, that there's Mahadrin, and even Mahadrin and Ahadrin on Chanukah because of Pirsum HaNes. Is therefore, that upgrades the status of Chanukah to justify that we would wedge into the fabric of Birkas HaMazon the recitation of Al HaNisim. So let's just mention two questions here. Question number one, we want to understand what exactly lies at the heart of this suffix. What's the Gemara vacillating about? Why did the Gemara think on the one hand Chanukah is only Derabbanan, it doesn't deserve to be mentioned in Birkas HaMazon, but on the other hand the Gemara thinks no, Pirsum HaNes would justify that we have to mention Al HaNisim in Birkas HaMazon. And question number two, if the Gemara thinks that since Chanukah is the Rabbanon, therefore it doesn't deserve an Al HaNisim in Birkas HaMazon, why not extend that logic to Tefillah, to Shmon Esrei itself? And in a certain sense, you know, the laws of Hefsek and Shmon Esrei are very strict. You know, we don't allow anything that's irrelevant to Shmon Esrei to be wedged into the middle of the fabric of Shmon Esrei. So I want to read to you a footnote here. He says the following, that if you want to understand what the difference between tefillah and Birkas HaMazon is, then you have to understand that tefillah has what's called Chazoras HaShatz, which introduces what element into the equation? Something that's totally far into Birkas HaMazon. Exactly, the Tzibur. That there's such a thing as a Tzibur with regard to Tefillah. In other words, it's not that you're dominating and I'm dominating, and we happen to be located in the same room perhaps, or maybe you're in your house and I'm in my house, and we're all praying to the Lord. It's much more profound than that. We link together, we integrate together to form a corporate entity which is called a Tzibur. So with regard to Tefillah, there's an element of tzibur. Now, why would that be relevant to Al HaNisim? So take a look at Tosus. Dibra maskel ma'u lahazkir shel Chanukah b'Birkas HaMazon. Says Tosus, without even asking our question, he just answers our question. B'tfilah, with regard to tefillah, pshitale, it was never an issue. The maskir, he certainly has to mention Al HaNisim. Why? Mishum de tefillah b'tzibur hu. Now, I don't know what Tosis means here. Let me offer two possibilities. Does he mean that since tefillah can be recited b'tzibur, or does he mean when the tefillah is recited b'tzibur? Meaning, what I'm wondering here, according to Tosis, if somehow, magically, Al HaNisim in tefillah is justified by tzibur, then what happens if I'm davening b'yechidus? Of course, that would not happen to any of us here. But in theory, you know, you didn't make it to shul that day. You weren't feeling well, or you had to go out on a trip, so you left too early, and they didn't start davening yet, and so forth and so on. You know, now my sikkun is about 6:10, something like that. So if you have to get on the road before 6:10, you're not going to be able to wait for the earliest minyan in the shul, which is Vasikin. Now, there may be shuls somewhere on the face of the earth where they daven before Vasikin. I never saw such a thing, but maybe there is such a thing. But let's assume in your local synagogue there's no tefillah before Vasikin. So you're davening at home, and it's Hanukkah. And, you know, there are people who go out on trips on Hanukkah, right? It's quite common. Again, nobody's going to miss Shir on Hanukkah here because we're learning Hanukkah, so that's not Havami. But if, let's say, you have to go out on a trip on Hanukkah, and you have to leave very early, so you're going to daven b'yechidus. So are you going to mention Al HaNisim in Tefillah? Because Tosfos seems to say that what justifies Al HaNisim in Tefillah, and you have to justify it because it's not simple to inject something into tefillah. It's a hefsek, unless it's required. So Tosfos says it's tefillah mitzivah. But I'm not davening mitzivah, I'm davening b'yechidus. And if I'm davening b'yechidus, then it's equal to Birkas HaMazon. Just like Birkas HaMazon, I'm reciting Birkas HaMazon in my own home, in the privacy of my home. And I'm going to, according to one side of the Gemara, I'm not going to recite Al HaNisim, because I'm lacking the element of tzibur. Then for that matter, in tefillah itself, which would be very odd. Imagine if we wrote a Shulchan Aruch and it said the following: inject Al HaNisim in modim in tefillah. B'medvar, that's only if you're davening b'tzibur. But if you're davening b'yochid, don't even dream of adding Al HaNisim in modim.
According to that theory, you could say that only the shliach tzibur should say Al HaNisim, but not the individual.
Larry wants to go a little bit further. What about what we call the shtil shmon esrei, right? The tefillah b'lachash before we get to the chazor sashatz. So there, I would say the following: that even though you're davening by yourself in your own tefillah b'lachash, but you're linked up to the tzibur. So there, I would say that you have, metaphysically or magically, you have the element of tzibur, even though you're praying yourself. I don't have to wait till chazor sashatz. So therefore, the more radical question that I have is: let's say there is no tzibur, you're davening by yourself. Would you recite Al HaNisim? Let's read Tosfos again. He says, "V'tfilah pshita le demazkir." Certainly, you should mention Al HaNisim in tefillah mishum the tefillah b'tziburu. Does he mean the abstract definition of tefillah, that since tefillah lends itself and ideally is b'tzibur, therefore tefillah always will have Al HaNisim? Or does he mean because now I'm davening b'tzibur, therefore I add Al HaNisim? I don't know. I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is that tefillah b'tzibur is an element that justifies Al HaNisim. Why? Says Tosfos, v'ika persuvei nisim. The whole thrust of why we're going to add Al HaNisim is because of persuvei nisim. Persuvei nisim only makes sense if there's a tzibur. But if in Birkas HaMazon Shabbat Bayis he's dominating, he's reciting the grace after the meal, since it's the privacy of his home, is leka mishum persuvei nisim, and now he adds kulei hai. What does kulei hai mean? So much. There's not so much persumeni. So what is he implying? That there is some persumeni. There's some element of persumeni even in Birkas HaMazon. What does he mean by that? That's very ambiguous. Michael, what do you think he means? Some element of persumeni.
I don't understand. I'm with Larry. That how does it, when you're davening silent, when the Shliach Tzibur repeats Amida and he says Al HaNisim, everybody knows he's saying Al HaNisim is Pursim and Nisim is Sam. When you're even in a Tzibur and you're davening Shmon Esri by yourself, how is that Pursim and Nisim? Nobody
right.
knows what you're saying.
Right, but again, he emphasizes Tzibur, so I don't know if he means that it has to be out loud or the fact that there is a Tefillah but Tzibur. We're all praying the same tefillah simultaneously as one entity, and that itself is pirsumenes, because we're all reciting Al HaNisim. You don't have to say it out loud, but if you're saying it together with the community, that is pirsumenes. But I was wondering what he means by Birkas HaMazon. He says Birkas HaMazon, it's not so much pirsumenes. First he says he's reciting Birkas HaMazon in his house, and then he says, but it's not so much pirsumenes, as if to say there is epis, a little bit of persimmoness. You know, what's the epis over here? You know what I'm asking? Yeah, Jerry?
So, I think we learned that if you're lighting by yourself in your own house, and you're lighting it inside, there's still an element of persimmoness.
For who?
For yourself.
For yourself.
So it's the same
thing. Maybe that's what Tosfos means. that when I recite Al HaNisim, even though I recited Al HaNisim in Tefillah this morning, before I ate my breakfast and I washed it, and even if I lit candles last night, I've been involved flexing the Al HaNisim, the Pirsum HaNes, over and over and over again. But nevertheless, every time I get an occasion to be Mekayim, some sort of statement, some sort of declaration about the miracle, that itself enhances, that also is a key unto itself in Pirsum HaNes. Alternatively, maybe what Tosfos is referring to is called Zimun. What's Zimun? What's the minimum number of people? Three people get together for Zimun, and they as a unit, will recite Birkas HaMazon. In other words, if the fact that in tefillah there is such an entity called tefillah b'tzibur, it doesn't mean that there's no such thing as tefillah without a tzibur, but at least we know that the halacha validates tefillah b'tzibur. That gives it an element of Pirsum HaNes. Then Tosfos says even in, one could argue that even in Birkas HaMazon, the halacha recognizes some sort of a collective entity where it's not that you are benching, and I'm benching each one separately. We bench together as one entity, and that's called zimun. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but the Rambam and other Rishonim seem to advocate that in Zimun, one person should bench for everybody. That's not our minhag, but that's the way it was back in the day. So it's one entity of Birkas HaMazon that's made up of a unit of people who are benching, that itself gives it an element of Pirsum HaNes. The only problem is, what are we lacking? Tzibur. It's not 10 people, it's 3 people. What do you say, Don?
No, I was going to say that a question. In those days, wasn't there always just a tzibur? Everyone, because a lot of people didn't even know how to read, so they depended upon...
Yeah, but I was just asking a theoretical question. Maybe it was theoretical. Again, you and I would never imagine how there could be a tefillas yochid, you know, without a tzibur. But let's say, getroffen, it happened for some reason. Like I gave you the mushel, you know, he's going out on a trip, it's Hanukkah, he's getting up early in the morning, he's packing his bags, his camels are ready, and there's no minyan. Or he's stuck out somewhere in a place where there's only Chabad. And on that particular occasion, Chabad couldn't get a minyan. Did anybody ever see that or experience that? I've had that many times. You know, Chabad makes every effort that they can to get you a minyan out in Kalamazoo, but Ken Zion, that they couldn't get a minyan. So what do you do in such a case? Do you recite Al HaNisim or not? Tosa seems to say that the whole justification for Al HaNisim is Tefillah B'Tzibur. I don't have Tefillah B'Tzibur. I'm davening B'Yochid. But again, we want to emphasize the following. I don't want to mislead you. This whole Tosfos is based on the Hava Min of the Gemara. What we're going to have to check out is what's the final conclusion of the Gemara. If the Gemara is going to conclude that Pirsum HaNes, even with Birkas HaMazon is enough to justify Al HaNisim, then why should Tefillah, even B'Yachid, be inferior to Birkas HaMazon? But again, on one side we're saying that we're looking at Tefillah as an entity conceptually, in theory, not in practice. You know, it could be in practice, I don't have it, see, when I'm dominating B'Yachid. But in terms of the entity of Tefillah as an abstract entity in Halacha, it lends itself to a Kiyum Tzibur. And that justifies adding Al HaNisim. So Al HaNisim was added to the fabric of Shmoneh Esrei on Chanukah. That becomes the Matbea Shel Bracha on Chanukah, on Tefillah. But in the case of Birkas HaMazon, since there's no element of Tzibur, they didn't inject into the Matbea, meaning the formulation and the Nusach of Birkas HaMazon, Al HaNis. That's the Gemara vacillates back and forth. So let's see the Gemara again inside. Iboilahu, the suffix of the Gemara was Ma'ala Haskil Shulchanaka Mibirkas HaMazon. Kevan de Mirabonanhu, Lomad Karinon. Again, that has to be understood. But somehow, since it's only the Rabbanan, we don't have the punch, you know, the power to inject Al HaNisim into Birkas HaMazon. Oh, Dilma, perhaps we should say Mishum Pirsume Nisa Madkarinon. There is an element of Pirsum HaNes. Again, it's a fallback Pirsum HaNes. It's not the ideal Pirsum HaNes. The Spitz, the perfect Pirsum HaNes, says Tosfos, is what? Is Tefillah. But at least in the case of Birkas HaMazon, there is some elements, you can salvage some, you know, some light of Pirsum HaNes, some element of Pirsum HaNes. Now, the question that we have to ask is, what about Purim? You know, is the Gemara going to vacillate as far as Purim is concerned? And some of us would say the Gemara has the same suffix for Purim, because Purim is also Derabban. So what does it mean, Eino Mazkir? So you and I might say that you're not allowed to add Alan Nisim, because if you're not required to do so, then it becomes what? A hefsek. It becomes an interruption. But that can't be pshat, because that would only make sense if we stopped Rav Huna in the middle of a sentence. But if we heard the rest of the sentence, he says, V'imbola haskir mazkir, but meaning to say, if he decides that he wants to add Alan Nisim, is mazkir behodah. Now, the word hodah, just for clarification, refers to the second bracha of Birkas HaMazon. How many brachas are there in Birkas HaMazon? Don't tell me four, please. How many brachas are there in Birkas HaMazon? There are three. Right. Doraisas, Machlokas, Rishonim, whether one is sufficient or you need all three. Then they added later on a takana of a fourth bracha that's called what? Hatova Meitu Faruge Beitar. But the essence or the framework of Birkas HaMazon is those three brachos. The second brach of the three is called Hodah, because it opens up with which words? Nodelecha. And in that Hodah, we have to thank Hashem for many different things, for the bris, for Eretz Yisrael, we thank Hashem for Torah, and we also thank Hashem for miracles that took place on that day. So we're going to add Alan Nisim in Hodah. But again, are we required to do so according to Rava? We're not required to do so. In Bala Haskir, what does that mean in Bala Haskir? If he wants to add it, we give him the option. It's not considered a hefsek, and it's a voluntary kind of addition to Shmon Esrei. And even though there's no chiyuv, you're allowed to do so, and it's not called a hefsek.
How many times are we given, an option? You could say
I've never seen it before. I've never seen it before. This is the first time. So it means that there's some sort of an enhancement of your Birkas HaMazon. We cannot entertain an obligation, an absolute requirement of adding Alan Nisim in Birkas HaMazon. That's because it's only the Rabbanah, and then the Rabbanah would never have gone so far as to change the matbeh of the tefillah of the Birkas HaMazon, to add Alan Nisim. But it is meaningful. It is a kiyum of some element of Pirsum Anes, albeit a very minor element of Pirsum Anes, but enough that it's not a foreign element. Because again, what is Hodah? Hodah means to express what?
Thanksgiving.
And it's not meaningless, that's a double negative. Let's say it's meaningful to thank Hashem on the day of Hanukkah for this great miracle. So that's not a hefsek, it's something that would expand the Hodah. We're not going to require it as a formal Shini Matbeah shall Birkas HaMazon, because for that we need a Doraisa, but we'll allow it, and that's the Shita of Rav.
So if you forget, you don't have to go back.
You don't have to go back. And now the Gemara is going to question exactly where you should place Alan Nisan. We thought, and that's what Rava thought, that if you're going to add Alan Nisim, it's an expansion of Hodah, of more thanksgiving to Hashem, in Birchas Nodelecha, for Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda Iklo Be Rava. And when Rav Huna came to visit Rava, he had a discussion with Rava, and Rav Huna insisted, Sovar Lad Kure Bibone Yerushalayim, that the best place I guess right before benching, they discussed this issue of Alan Nisim. And Rav Huna raised his hand and he said to Rav, I think the best place to add Alan Nisim is in Bone Yerushalayim. What else do we add to Bone Yerushalayim, which is classical? Yalav Yomo, correct? Yalav Yomo is in Bone Yerushalayim. So we already have a precedent for adding something to Bone Yerushalayim. That's Yalav Yomo. Not only that, let's assume, again, this is a great assumption on my part, that on Rosh Chodesh we're going to add Yalav Yomo. Now Rosh Chodesh is only Durabbanah as far as Yalav Yomo is concerned.
Yalav Yomo relates to Karbanot, which were brought on the Beit HaMikdash.
In Yerushalayim.
In Yerushalayim.
Right. Maybe we could say that Hanukkah also relates to the Beit HaMikdash, because the great miracle took place in the Beit HaMikdash. So Bona Yerushalayim is the appropriate place. Amalu Rav Sheshes. I guess there were three people sitting around the table there. It wasn't just Rav Huna and Rava, it was also Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes turns to Rav Huna and he says, no. You know what the precedent is? You want to know where we should add Al Anisim? It's Kitfila. Matfila Behoda Afirkas Amazon Behoda. The paradigm case of Al Anisim is Tfila. And just like in Tfila we insert, we add Al Anisim to Hoda, which is called Birkas Modim. So the parallel, the mirror image in Birkas Amazon would be Hoda, which would be No Delacha. We're not going to delay it and inject it into Bnei Yerushalayim. What would be if he went ahead and he omitted Al Anisim in Hoda? When he got to Bnei Yerushalayim, he wants to add Al Anisim. I don't know. Maybe Rav Sheshes would say in that case, he's allowed to, but that's not the right way of doing it. The right way of doing it is Kitfila, and just like in Tfila you insert Al Anisim in Hoda, so too in Birkas Hamazon. Now, let's just read one more line in the Gemara, which is not so relevant to us, but it is relevant. Ibayaluhu, the Gemara had another suffix, Ma'ala Haski Rosh Chodesh be Birkas Hamazon. Should Yalav Yavo be added into Birkas Hamazon? And the Gemara now wants to insist that Rosh Chodesh does have an element of Doraisa. Why? Because the Torah itself recognizes Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, even if in Chanukah we're not going to insist that you absolutely have to add Al Anisim and mention Chanukah in Birkas HaMazon, because that's because Chanukah is only the Rabbanon. But Rosh Chodesh is one up it on Chanukah, because Rosh Chodesh is recognized by the Torah. And for example, if you take a look in Parashas Baaloscha, it says over there, that they blew chatzotzros not only on the Moadim but also Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh has a status on a Doraisa level. In fact, the Ramban Shita is that in the Beis HaMikdash they recited Hallel on a Doraisa level on Rosh Chodesh. Normally we assume Hallel is only the Rabbanon, but the Ramban is Machadish that in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh Hallel is Doraisa. So that's what the Gemara vacillates now about Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh in Birkas HaMazon. The Gemara says, but Chanukah, maybe in Chanukah where there's no requirement of Al Anisim in Birkas HaMazon Lo Tzarich, because it's only Derabbanan. Derabbanan Lo Tzarich, but Rosh Chodesh, the Oraisa, the Torah recognizes the significance of Rosh Chodesh, is Tzarich, therefore you have to mention Yalav Yavo in benching, on Dilma, Kavan. I would add two words. It came in Dir Rosh Chodesh Lo Asur Basias Malacha. There's no, the Torah says Rosh Chodesh is a day for counting the new month, but it doesn't say anywhere that you can't do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. That's certainly not true. There's no Isa Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. It's there for Lo Maskirinon, and here at this point the Gemara connects the mentioning of Yalav Yavo with Iser Malacha, and that has to be understood.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
We talked about doing the Alanism during Hador, during No Delacha. Yalav Yavo goes
with Bnei Yerushalayim,
and the reason we said it is because it's part of Hador. But if we're talking about Tadr of Shem or Tadr, maybe Yavo should come before Al Anisim in the mention.
Well, again, you know, Tadr is something that comes later, meaning if you have two mitzvahs and you want to know where to put them, but first you have to decide what's the machayev of the mitzvah. In other words, when is it appropriate to do the mitzvah? You could have a mitzvah that's Tadr, but it's not appropriate to fulfill that mitzvah until a later period of time. So the Yalav Yavo, which doesn't have any element of Hodah in it, it's just about the fact that we go to the Beis HaMikdash or whatever is in Yalav Yavo, that's appropriate for Bnei Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is that blessing that relates to the Beis HaMikdash. What I wanted to share with you in the few minutes that we have is an essay here in Hare Kedem, in which Rav Soloveitchik tries to give his take on what was the Gemara vacillating about regarding Al Anisim on Hanukkah in Benching. So again, I don't think we have time to go through the whole essay. It's quite extensive. But maybe we could just fit in some of the highlights. Okay. First of all, we said that according to Rashi, back on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the essence of the Kviyas of Chanukah was for Hodah, and Rashi identifies that as Hodah B'Tefillah. The Rambam, when he codifies this brice of my Chanukah, he completely leaves out the word Hodah. Instead of Hodah, he has Adlokas Ner Chanukah. So he has Hallel, Simcha, and Adlokas Ner. So then, if your answer to the question, why was it simple in the Gemara's mind that Al-Nisim is appropriate for Tefillah on Chanukah, then you can't give Rashi's answer according to the Rambam. The Rashi has the luxury of saying that that was the essence of the Takana, because Rashi has the word Hodah back in the formulation of Chanukah as a special day. It's a day of Hodah. Rashi says Hodah of Al-Nisim in Tefillah, but the Rambam doesn't have Hodah. So therefore, according to the Rambam, when we want to differentiate between Tefillah on the one hand and Birkas HaMazon on the other hand, we cannot say because they established this day of Chanukah as the day of Hodah, and Hodah is in Modim in Shmon Esrei, and that's the essence of the Takon of the day. So therefore, we're more inclined to go with Tosus's approach. And Tosus says that the difference between Tefillah and Birkas HaMazon is that Tefillah has an element of what? Sibur, and that generates Pirsumanes, whereas Birkas HaMazon is Bebeso, and there's no element of Tzibur, and therefore there's no Pirsumanes. Okay. And then we mentioned that we vacillated back and forth. What would Tosus say if I'm davening Biachidus? Also, you mentioned Larry Chazos HaShatz, did you not? So that becomes very relevant when you talk about Meiriv, because there's no Chazos HaShatz in Meiriv. So maybe in Meiriv, where we don't even have Chazos HaShatz, maybe we shouldn't mention Al-Anisim in Tefillah. But we never heard such a thing.
Well, aren't there rules of where you would repeat it if you miss it or whatever, and Meiriv?
I'm not up to that yet, Phil. You're already a step ahead of me. I just want to know, is it appropriate to add Al-Anisim in Tefillas Arvus? Because according to Tosus, the whole justification for adding Al-Anisim is Tefillah B'Tzibur. That L'chor requires a Chazor Sashatz, where we're davening together. And if that be the case, then in Meiriv, we don't have that. Again, unless you analyze Tefillah, as I said before, as an entity, as a theoretical construct. Okay. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to take another approach. And he says the following. I'm going to just mention this if anyone wants to write this down. There's a Simon in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Pei Ches, which is 188. And in that Simon, there's a discussion about the following scenario. A person started his meal on Friday, Erev Shabbos, and he continued his meal into the night of Shabbos. Should he recite Ritzei in Benching, or should he not recite Ritzei in Benching? Flip side, what happens if he eats a meal on Shabbos and he continues his meal into Motzi Shabbos? Shabbos is already over. Should he recite Ritzei in Birkas HaMazon or not? And the Shulchan Aruch says the following: it depends on whether Azlinan Bosar Shasa Suda or Bosar Zman de Birkas HaMazon. This is the issue that the Shulchan Aruch addresses. What is the essence of Ritzei? Is Ritzei determined by the nature of the Suda, or is it determined by the moment that you're reciting Birkas HaMazon? In other words, when we mention the day in Birkas HaMazon, which is called Azkaras HaYom, what generates that Azkaras HaYom? Is it the Seuda or is it the Birkas HaMazon? If it's the Seuda, then arguably if I started my Seuda before Shabbos, then that's the Seudas Chol, which does not generate Azkara in Birkas HaMazon. Or in the flip case where I started on Shabbos, I have a chiyuv of Hazkaras Hayom because that's the Suda Shabbos. Or should we say the opposite? No. What determines the recitation of Ritzei, the Hazkaras Hayom, is not the Suda per se, but the Zman HaBracha, at the moment I'm making the Bracha. So even though, in fact, let's say, for example, going towards the end of Shabbos, I started my Suda, and it was the Suda Shabbos when I started, but if I'm only benching after Shabbos, then I cannot mention Ritzei. And this becomes, in Simon Kuf Pei Ches, as I mentioned earlier, a major issue. This is like a controversy that knows no end, so to speak. It's a major debate.
And the other would follow the same rules or not?
Probably the same rules. I don't know. Let me just finish up some before I think about Yal V'Yom. So what does the Rav want to gain from that Simon Kuf Pei Ches? He says, that might impact, he says, on the difference between Tefillah and Birkas HaMazon with regard to Al HaNisim on Chanukah. He says the following. In the case of Tefillah, we have something called Zman Shel Chanukah. And if it's Zman Shel Chanukah, then the Tefillah is enhanced by Al HaNisim. Okay? And how many times are we going to daven within the course of a day? We'll daven 3 times a day, and this is a day of Chanukah. So the davening itself is a davening on the Zman of Chanukah. But when we get to Seuda and Birkas HaMazon, now we have a different kind of, factor that plays in, and that is, if you want to tell me that, again, going back to Kuf Pei Ches, that we want to define the Suda, right? If he started on Erev Shabbos, he will not add Ritzei and Benchi because that's as soon as Erev Shabbos. If he started a Suda on Shabbos and continued to Motzi Shabbos, we will recite Ritzei, according to that Shita, which means that what generates the Haskara, the extra addition, it's the Suda itself. We have to define the Suda. Is it a Suda Chol of Friday? Is it a Suda Shabbos? It's not the Zman, we don't care so much about when he's davening, but rather, I'm sorry, when he's reciting Birkas HaMazon, but rather we care about the Suda itself. If that be the case, then we're in deep trouble with regard to Chanukah. Because there's no such thing as a Suda Chanukah. And this might explain why the Gemara here never had a suffix about Purim. With regard to Purim, the Gemara never entertained the possibility that we could omit Al HaNisim from benching, because what generates a Haskara, an extra addition, that's the Suda itself. In the case of Purim, we have such an entity called Suda's Purim.
Only one.
One. So for that one Suda, you would definitely require Al HaNisim. Maybe the other Sudas would not. I don't know. You have to know whether one Suda is just the barest minimum requirement, or every Suda on Purim has the status of a Suda's Purim. I'm not getting into that now. For that, we'd have to learn the laws of Purim. But be that as it may, with regard to Chanukah, there's no such thing as a Suda's Chanukah. And he says, therefore, that when the Gemara says Ikar Chanukah Derabbanan, what does Gemara mean by telling me that on Chanukah you do not, according to one side, you do not add Al HaNisim? The answer is that the Rabbanon never established a new entity called a Suda, a Suda's Chanukah. There is such a thing as a Suda's Shabbos or a Suda's Yontif, insofar as I'm obligated to eat a Suda on Shabbos and Yontif. And therefore, when we get to benching, we have to mention in our benching the Suda. But Mehecha Tesi, why should we even entertain that possibility with regard to Chanukah, when if the Suda is what generates the Haskara, there's no such thing as a Suda's Chanukah? So what was the Gemara's tzad to say that maybe you would say Al HaNisim on Chanukah and benching? And he wants to suggest that maybe the Gemara thinks that what generates a Haskara is not the Suuda, but rather the day itself. So just like we said that the Suda started on Friday, but yet he's going to, according to one thrust and one shita, he's going to mention Ritzei, that this is Shabbos because that's the Zman of Shabbos. Now the Zman of Shabbos kicks in. So even though the Suda was what? Was the Suda's Chol, but the Zman is the Zman of Shabbos. So too, with regard to Chanukah, even though the Suda doesn't have the status of a Suda's Chanukah, but nevertheless the Zman itself is the Zman of Chanukah. And the Zman of Chanukah will generate the need for mentioning Alan Nisim. And that's what the Gemara means by Pursuma Nisim, that now's the time for Pursuma Nes. We have to take advantage of every opportunity on this day to mention the day and be mefarsing the miracle of the day. With regard to Purim, there was never a suffix because no matter how you slice the cake, you have to mention Alan Nisim, right? On Purim. Why? Because the Suda is a Suda's Purim. The Gemara is now going to have a suffix about Rosh Chodesh, whether or not there's Alan Nisim in benching on Rosh Chodesh. That too is going to kick into our discussion, because on the one hand, the day is the day of Rosh Chodesh, and even more so than Chanukah, it's the Raisa, but on the other hand, there's no such thing as a Suda's Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, again, we get back to this whole suffix that when we add things to benching, are we adding those things to benching because of the nature of the Suda? Or are we adding those things to the benching because of the time period in which we're benching, at the moment in which we're reciting Birkas HaMazon? If it goes by the time period, then that could apply to Chanukah, that could apply to Rosh Chodesh. If it goes by the Suda, then that doesn't apply neither to Rosh Chodesh nor to Chanukah, because they're not invested with the special status of a Suda. Okay, Rabosei, so we'll stop here. There's a lot more here to talk about, but I think that's enough for us today. And if anybody wants to learn a Mishnah Berurah, we'll get together in about an hour from now, okay?
Question.
Yes, please.
So does that mean, based upon this, that maybe I missed it, you said it, if it's Rosh Chodesh or Hanukkah, and I'm eating Erev, Chag, right? And it continues into the nightfall. I mean, I don't know anyone who would have that situation, but let's say you did. Then when I'm saying Birkat HaMazon, I say it for the day. I always have to say.
Correct.
Wow.
Not that you have to say it, because again, the Gemara never says that you have to, but okay. You can say it. Why? Because, okay. And the beginning of the Suda and the time of the beginning of Suda is irrelevant. So let's say on the 24th of Kislev.
I understand.
I started my Suda, again, from the 24th and on for the next eight days. It doesn't matter when I started my Suda, because it's all one Zman. But right. On the 24th, or let's say, so it comes out like, according to Rav Soloveitchik, if let's say on the last day of Chanukah, I would start my Suda right before Shkia on the eighth day, and I didn't bench until after Shkia, there's no way, no how that I could say Alan Nisim. Why? Because the only machayev of Alan Nisim, the only justification for Alan Nisim is not the Suda, even though I started on Chanukah, but rather the Zman. And there's no longer Zman. So that's fascinating. But in the other way, that's your case. Let's say he started his Suda on the 24th of Kislev. He could, in fact, recite Alan Nisim. He doesn't have to, but he has that option after nightfall, if he's benching after nightfall. Because here, everything that's koveh is the Zman, and not the Suda. There ain't no such thing as a Suda's Chanukah.
On Shabbos, if you start eating Shabbos sugars and you say benching afterwards, you do say Ritzei.
Well, that's a gigantic machlokas, you know, if you should say Ritzei or not, if it's already past Shabbos. I would say the following: if let's say you recited Havdalah,
really, oh, that's different.
You know, then for sure, even though the Suda was the Suda Shabbos, you know, there's got to be a connection to the Zman as well. It's not enough just to set up the Suda Shabbos.
We had an Indian at Sudashli Sheet on Erev Rosh Chodesh where we were told to stop eating before a certain time.
But let's say the opposite case. That's not your case. But let's say it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So then we could say that since it has the status of a Suda Shabbos, and I'm already justifying Ritzei, because it's a Suda Shabbos, again, it's not something I can do with regard to Rosh Chodesh, but once I add and say the Torah's a Suda Shabbos, I could already call it a Suda Rosh Chodesh. It's a quasi Suda Rosh Chodesh, meaning that could justify Yalam Yoma. So this is a very fascinating sugya. I mean, we didn't even touch on the tip of the iceberg, but it's fascinating to think that when the Gemara says that Hanukkah doesn't deserve Al-Anisim because it's only the Rabbanan, the Rav says what the Gemara had in mind is that if it's the Rabbanan, there's no such thing as a Sudas Hanukkah. I mean, that's
it may not be a chiyuv.
Very revolutionary when you read the text of the Gemara. Yeah.
It may not be a chiyuv, but I've known people who have made a point to say on Hanukkah that they're eating a Sudat Hanukkah.
I'm not here to justify these declarations. You know, as I said, when it comes to Hanukkah, everything seems to go. You know, they do all sorts of things on Hanukkah.
Okay.
You know, I'm just trying to understand our luck. You know, if we, you know, we could pontificate about, you know,
possibilities.
You know, like for example, Lubavitch Mobiles will have a Hanukkah on the outside. If it was sukkahs, let's say Chol Hamoed sukkahs, and they have a sukkah on the back of the Lubavitcher mobile, if there's such a word, that's fine with me because the Gemara has something called sukkah al-gabi al-gola. There's a mobile sukkah. But if you're talking about a mobile near Hanukkah, I don't know that there is such a thing. Now, I have no objection, you know, if Chabad wants to get the word out for Hanukkah, that's fine with me, but we do all sorts of things, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's, you know.
We're still waiting until Wednesday for start Pesachim.
Wednesday we start Masechet Pesachim. You weren't here when I announced it, Don. So Masechet Pesachim from the beginning. So bring in your Gemara Pesachim for Wednesday. Tomorrow will be the last 8:30 shiur on the sugya of Hanukkah. We actually only have a few lines left in the Gemara, but maybe we'll embellish those.
The Mishnah shiur, you're going to continue after Wednesday?
The which year?
Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah shiur, I want to start today, and if there's interest, and continue until Hanukkah and even during Hanukkah. But after Hanukkah, you know, we could learn Hilchus Purim if you like, or something else. We'll see if that's relevant. But first, let's see who shows up. Okay then? Because Jerry, yesterday you weren't there, so I didn't give the shiur. Can you just give me a little guilt trip?
I don't count. I wasn't here.
No, because Jerry told me I thought you told me you were going to be there. Maybe I misunderstood.
I couldn't be there yesterday.
No, but originally when I asked last Thursday, I think you told me you were going to be there, but then you didn't show up yesterday because you told me you couldn't be there.
For the Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah, for the Mishnah.
In general, I want to come to.
You do want to come.
Yesterday
you couldn't come. Okay, good. So maybe we'll have a quorum.
In my chopped liver, I couldn't be here yesterday either.
No, you misunderstood. I knew you were.
I'm only joking.
Okay.